From NPR News in Washington, this is a special report. I'm Paul Brown. Today, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez appeared before a skeptical Senate Judiciary Committee, his job on the line over the firings of eight U.S. attorneys. Gonzalez's critics say the prosecutors were fired for political reasons to influence the prosecution of cases in a way that would benefit Republicans. Gonzalez denies that, and he gave no sign he's considering quitting.
As a result, this committee has thousands of pages of internal Justice Department communications and hours of interviews with department officials. And I'm here today to do my part to ensure that all facts about this matter are brought to light. These are not the actions of someone with something to hide.
He insisted today he's been forthcoming with the committee's investigation into the firings. But as the day wore on, the senators hammered the attorney general with questions about how honest he's been about his involvement in the firings. And one conservative Republican, Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, called for his resignation. Other Republicans also indicated their patience was running out. Joining us now are NPR's legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg and Washington editor Ron Elving, and they'll help us through the events that brought the attorney general before the Senate Judiciary Committee to testify under oath about the firings of the eight attorneys. Ron Elving, take us back a few months, if you will, please. How did this issue first come to the public's attention?
This was not a typical scandal in the respect of how it came to public attention, because we now know the key dates came in November and December of last year, but they came at meetings within the Justice Department and communications between people in the Justice Department and these U.S. attorneys. There was very little public announcement of any of this until it started coming out with the resignations, the forced resignations, as we now know, of several of these eight. And as that news got out in a local sense in the states that were affected, the newspapers and television people got interested in why these attorneys were leaving and started asking questions about it. Questions started coming back to Washington, and the answers that were given in explanation for these forced resignations led to people asking more questions, and then contradictory statements started coming from some of the highest officials in the Justice Department. A press conference that the Attorney General himself gave answered no questions and raised new ones, and that's really how it all blew up.
You know, the administration's been arguing that U.S. attorneys serve at the pleasure of the president. And Attorney General Gonzalez said this again today, several times during the hearings. What do we make of that?
It's true. They do serve at the pleasure of the president. He can fire them for a good reason. He can fire them for no reason. But as has been observed by some of the senators on the Judiciary Committee, he cannot fire them for a bad reason. He cannot fire them under political pressure because they're not participating in some kind of a partisan prosecution or because they're not following some kind of partisan directives.
Here's what Attorney General Gonzalez said today.
While the process that led to the resignations was flawed, I firmly believe that nothing improper occurred. U.S. attorneys serve at the pleasure of the president. There is nothing improper in making a change for poor management, policy differences, or questionable judgment, or simply to have another qualified individual serve. I think we agree on that.
Do you think there is broad agreement on that these days, Ron?
I think there's broad agreement that there's nothing improper in any of those causes, but the broad disagreement is over whether or not those were the causes for these forced resignations.
Nina Totenberg, did Attorney General Gonzalez make much headway with this argument today?
No, because of the many, many contradictions in the things that he said before and the things that he said today. He astonishingly at one point said he didn't even remember the meeting at which he made the decision, which he okayed the decision, which he said there was not an improper decision. But then he went on to say that he really didn't know the basis for the decision in each and every case, at the same time that he said he was involved in the decision-making. There were contradictions, not just with his past statements, but internally with his statements today. And he didn't get any help from Republicans.
He also seemed to say that he hadn't seen the performance reviews of each one of the attorneys who had been dismissed.
He said he hadn't looked at the performance reviews done by their peers, that he hadn't asked his aides what the basis was for their conclusion of putting these people on the list, that he hadn't given any of these people a chance to rebut the allegations against them, that he hadn't had anybody call them to ask them about them. That's just a few of the things.
So, Ron, it seems the whole brouhaha gets back to the Bush administration's broad notion of expansion of executive power, and that that notion is now coming up against a newly powerful Democratic Congress.
Clearly, this would not be happening in the fashion in which it's happening had it not been for the election of 2006, which brought in a Democratic majority in the Senate and in the House. But as Nina just said a moment ago, the real condemnation today in the way this committee treated this attorney general was coming from the Republicans. About half the Republicans on the committee were quite harsh in many of their questions and in many of the comments and in the framing of their questions.
Let's listen to some introductory remarks at the hearing. These are comments that will help us set the stage for what was to come later in the day. First, here's Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy, a Democrat of Vermont, in his opening statement.
There's a growing scandal swirling around the dismissal and replacement of several prosecutors and persistent efforts to undermine and marginalize career lawyers in the Civil Rights Division and elsewhere in the Department. We hear disturbing reports that politics played a role in a growing number of cases. And I've warned for years against the lack of prosecutorial experience and judgment throughout the leadership ranks of the Department. We're seeing the results amid rising crime and rampant war profiteering, abandonment of civil rights and voting rights enforcement efforts, and lack of accountability. I fear the Justice Department may be losing its way. The Department of Justice should never be reduced to another political arm of the White House, this White House or any White House. The Department of Justice must be worthy of its name. The trust and confidence of the American people in federal law enforcement must be restored. Now, since Attorney General Gonzalez last appeared before this committee on January 18th, we've heard sworn testimony from the former U.S. attorneys forced from office and from his former chief of staff. Their testimony sharply contradicts the accounts of the plan to replace U.S. attorneys that the Attorney General provided to this committee under oath, in January, to the American people during his March 13th press conference. The committee is still seeking documents and information and testimony so that we may know all the facts, the whole truth, surrounding the replacement of these prosecutors who have been appointed by President Bush.
Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont, the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, opening a hearing with Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez over the dismissals of 8 U.S. attorneys. The ranking Republican on the committee is Senator Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania. Specter praised Gonzalez for overcoming difficulties early in his life to achieve high office, but he seemed as hard on Gonzalez as any of the Democrats, as he also laid out the high stakes for the Attorney General.
The purpose of this Senate oversight hearing is to determine this committee's judgment as to whether Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez should continue in that capacity.
Specter said Gonzalez had a tough job ahead of him.
As I see it, you come to this hearing with a heavy burden of proof to do 3 things. First, to reestablish your credibility. Second, to justify the replacement of these United States attorneys. And third, to demonstrate that you can provide the leadership to the United States Department of Justice, which has such a vital role in protecting our national interests in so many lines.
And Specter went on to register deep concern about what Gonzalez has said and whether it squares with testimony of others involved with the firings.
You early said that you were not involved in any discussions, and then your subordinates testified to the contrary, that you were at meetings where discussions were undertaken about the replacement of these U.S. attorneys. You then said that you did not see memoranda. And again, your subordinates have testified under oath that you were at meetings where documents, memoranda, were distributed. And then you modified your statement about discussions to say that you were not involved in deliberations.
Nina Totenberg, I'd love to ask you now about these remarks from Republican Senator Arlen Specter. He seems to be saying that the Attorney General, the nation's top law enforcement officer, has lied about his involvement in the firings. without using the word.
Yeah, they don't use the L word very often, although one of the other Republican senators, Senator Coburn, said later, you've had misstatements, and he said, to put it charitably. But that was the thrust of what Specter and I'd say more than half of the senators were saying. They were saying either you're on the horns of a dilemma, Specter said, either you're incompetent and you didn't know and you didn't understand, or you're dishonest.
At moments, Gonzalez did seem contrite about how he'd handled the firings.
Those eight attorneys deserve better. They deserve better from me and from the Department of Justice, which they serve selflessly for many years. Each is a fine lawyer and dedicated professional. I regret how they were treated, and I apologize to them and to their families for allowing this matter to become an unfortunate and undignified public spectacle.
But even so, Gonzalez insisted that asking U.S. attorneys for their resignations is perfectly legal and appropriate, and he confronted the issue of his own truthfulness.
I understand why some of my statements generated confusion, and I have subsequently tried to clarify my words. My misstatements were my mistakes, no one else's, and I accept complete and full responsibility here as well. That said, I've always sought the truth in every aspect of my professional and personal life. This matter has been no exception. Never sought to mislead or deceive the Congress or the American people.
That's Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez in his opening statement at a hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee today. We'll hear more from the hearing and from NPR's Nina Totenberg and Ron Elving after a break. This is a special report from NPR News. This is a special report from NPR News. I'm Paul Brown. Today, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez faced a bipartisan grilling from the Senate Judiciary Committee over his role in the dismissal of eight U.S. attorneys. Gonzalez had said that he had little direct involvement in the firings until emails surfaced showing he was present for at least one meeting where the firings were discussed, and his former chief of staff, Kyle Sampson, testified that Gonzalez's portrayal was not accurate. Today, the Attorney General fielded sharp and skeptical questions from both Republicans and Democrats and some calls for his resignation. Republican Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania at first offered what seemed to be lukewarm support.
I'd like you to win this debate, Attorney General Gonzalez.
That.
I'd like you to win this debate.
I apologize.
But you're going to have to win it.
But it wasn't long before the exchange turned blistering. Specter referred to a now infamous March 13th news conference when Gonzalez denied taking part in conversations regarding the firings.
I prepare for every hearing, Senator.
Do you prepare for all your press conferences? Were you prepared for the press conference where you said there weren't any discussions involving you?
Senator, I've already said that I misspoke. It was my mistake.
I'm asking you, were you prepared? You interjected that you're always prepared. Were you prepared for
that
press
conference?
Senator,
I didn't say that I was always prepared. I said I prepared for every hearing.
Well, and I'm asking you, do you prepare for your press conferences?
Senator, we do take time to try to prepare for the press conference.
And were you prepared when you said you weren't involved in any deliberations?
Senator, I've already conceded that I misspoke at that press conference. There was nothing intentional. And the truth of the matter is, Senator,
Let's move on. I don't think you're going to win a debate about your preparation, frankly.
Republican Jeff Sessions of Alabama also referred to that press conference and the testimony of Gonzalez's former chief of staff, Kyle Sampson, about a meeting where the firings were discussed.
Now, Mr. Sampson then had testified that there was a meeting, a final meeting, I guess, when this was discussed in some detail, and that you were present. Do you recall that meeting and where it took place?
Senator, I have searched my memory. I have no recollection of the meeting. My schedule shows a meeting for 9 o'clock on November 27th. But I have no recollection of that meeting. My understanding is I reviewed Mr. Sampson's public testimony, was that he had hazy recollections about it as well. But in any event, I have no recollection of that meeting.
That was Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez responding to questions from Republican Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama at today's hearing of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Another Republican, Charles Grassley of Iowa, returned to the same issue of Gonzalez's involvement in firing the attorneys and asked if Gonzalez interacted with the White House regarding the firings. Once again, Gonzalez said his recollection was spotty.
You indicated that you really hadn't been involved in any discussions or deliberations to remove the U.S. attorneys. But emails indicated that you had discussions with Mr. Sampson about this in late 2004, early 2005, and that you attended a November 2006 meeting just prior to the firings. Mr. Sampson testified before this committee that your statements weren't fully accurate, and your testimony today backtracks on what you said earlier. Why is your story changing? Can you tell us when you first got involved and the extent of your participation in the process to evaluate and replace U.S. attorneys, and additionally, who came up with a plan to evaluate U.S. attorneys?
Yes, sir. Well, the reason why my statements initially were incorrect is because I had not gone back and look at the record. Since then, I've tried to clarify it. I think Mr. Sampson even in his testimony said that I have clarified my statements. The meeting, the email that you're referring to, the discussion that happened in January 05, as I recall, Senator, it would relate to a discussion that would have happened in Christmas week, between Christmas and New Year's, and just weeks before my confirmation. And so I don't have a recollection of that discussion, quite frankly. But what we have tried to do since this time, since early March, is gather up as much information as we can and provide to the Congress documents and make people available so that we can get to the bottom of what happened here. And I'm here to provide what I know, what I recall as to the truth in order to help the Congress, help to complete the record. But there are clearly some things that I don't know about what happened, and it's frustrating to me as head of the department to know that, to not know that still today. But I haven't done that. I haven't talked to witnesses because of the fact that I haven't wanted to interfere with this investigation and department investigations.
Who did you discuss the review with at the White House? Did you question any of the recommendations? Were you comfortable with the process and the methodology for the final recommendations? And what was your personal input in that process?
Senator, as to whether or not I had a specific conversation with individuals about the review process is not something that I can recall having, that kind of conversation. I had understood that there was a process in place where Mr. Sampson would consult with the senior leadership in the department, people that knew the most information about U.S. attorneys, and that he would bring back to me a consensus recommendation of the senior leadership of where there were districts in terms of issues and concerns about the performance of United States attorney. Still today, I think that was an appropriate thing for a manager to do, is to try to identify where there were areas of improvement. Clearly, there were mistakes made in the implementation of this plan and in the review of this plan, and I accept responsibility for those mistakes.
That was Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez answering questions from Republican Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa over the firings of 8 U.S. attorneys. So, Nina Totenberg, here we heard from 3 Republicans practically accusing the Attorney General of lying. As he tried to defend himself, Gonzalez seemed to concede that he didn't have a tight grip on major personnel decisions within his department.
And that wasn't the half of it. It only got worse. It was really, my colleague Ari Shapiro said today in his All Things Considered piece, he said, it's common for you to see anger on the face of a senator at one of these hearings, rare for you to see a different expression, pity. I would say I also saw sadness. Everybody in the room understood this guy was going down in flames, that he was digging a hole, digging, and just, he every time he answered a question, he was just digging more dirt. But it was what it was.
Let's return to the hearings. I had the sense today that the Attorney General was not getting a lot of support from Republicans, and Nina, you seem to be confirming that. Here's Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. First, he seemed to give Gonzalez the benefit of the doubt, but then he asked a pointed question.
I do believe this, that you never sanctioned anybody being fired because they wouldn't play politics a particular way.
I would not do that.
I do believe that your associates have prosecuted both Democrats and Republicans. I don't believe you're that kind of person. I don't believe that you're involved in a conspiracy to fire somebody because they wouldn't prosecute a particular enemy of a politician or a friend of a politician. But at the end of the day, you said something that struck me, that sometimes it just came down to these were not the right people at the right time. If I applied that standard to you, what would you say?
Senator, I think what I would say is that I believe that I continue to be effective as the Attorney General of the United States. We've done some great things.
Republican Tom Coburn of Oklahoma was even more blunt than Senator Graham with the Attorney General.
I was quoted in the paper saying, I think this has been handled in a very incompetent manner. And I believe most people, I don't care which side of the aisle they are, would agree with that. U.S. attorneys' reputation that were involved, there has been harmed. The confidence in U.S. attorneys throughout this country has been damaged. The reputation of the Attorney General's office has been tarnished and brought into question. I disavow aggressively any implication that there was a political nature in this. I know that's the politics of the blood sport that we're playing. I don't think it had anything to do with it. But to me, there has to be consequences to accepting responsibility. And I would just say it's, Mr. Attorney General, it's my considered opinion that the exact same standards should be applied to you and how this was handled. It was handled incompetently. The communication was atrocious. It was inconsistent. It's generous to say that there were misstatements. It's a generous statement, and I believe you ought to suffer the consequences that these others have suffered. And I believe the best way to put this behind us is your resignation.
Senator, I don't know whether or not that puts everything behind us, quite frankly. I am committed. I know the mistakes that were made here, and I am committed to fix those mistakes. And I'm committed to working with you and try to restore the faith and confidence that you need to have to work with me.
That's Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma and Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez in an exchange today. Ron Elving, this seemed to be the clearest call today from a Republican for Alberto Gonzalez to step down. Democrat Charles Schumer of New York later said the same thing. After today's hearing, from a political standpoint, do you think the Attorney General can hang on?
Hang on is about all you could imagine him doing. He's been put in a position where it's very hard for him to be an effective leader of the Department of Justice or an effective defense figure for the people in the White House who are going to be, in some sense or another, involved in this in the weeks as we go ahead. The president, it should be said, immediately announced after the hearing tonight through his spokesperson that he was pleased with the Attorney General's testimony and that he thinks that we can now put all this behind us. That does not sound like a preamble to the President firing the Attorney General or to the President suggesting strongly that the Attorney General should go. But that may only be a public statement, and there may be some reevaluation of the White House support going on tonight.
One of the highest-profile dismissals was that of David Iglesias, the U.S. Attorney for New Mexico. Iglesias alleges he was pressured by Republican Senator Pete Domenici and Republican Congresswoman Heather Wilson to pursue corruption cases against Democrats. Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy of Vermont asked how it came to be that Iglesias was dismissed.
Mr. Iglesias lost the confidence of Senator Domenici, as I recall, in the fall of 2005, when he called me and said something to the effect that Mr. Iglesias was in over his head and that he was concerned that Mr. Iglesias did not have the appropriate personnel focused on cases like public corruption cases. He didn't mention specific cases. He simply said public corruption cases. I don't recall Mr. Senator Domenici ever requesting that Mr. Iglesias be removed. He simply complained about whether or not Mr. Iglesias was capable of continuing that position.
With all due respect, Mr. Attorney General, my question wasn't when he may have lost the confidence of Senator Domenici. My question is, when and why did he lose your confidence?
Senator, what I instructed Mr. Sampson to do was consult with people in the department.
When and why did he lose your confidence?
Based upon the recommendation, what I understood to be the consensus recommendation of the senior leadership in the department, that in fact there were issues and concerns about the performance of these individuals, and that's when I made the decision to accept the recommendation, and in fact it would be appropriate to make a change in this particular district. Now, the fact that Mr. Iglesias appeared on the list again was not surprising to me because I'd already had heard concerns about Mr. Iglesias' performance.
Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez with Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont. As we continue NPR's special report, I want to turn now to Nina Totenberg about the Iglesias dismissal. David Iglesias of New Mexico was added to the list of attorneys to be fired relatively late, and yet, as I recall, listening to the news, this was the case that really blew the story open. Now, why was that?
Because Iglesias said he was fired for political reasons, not the press, not the Democrats. Iglesias says he was added to the list for political reasons.
He was convinced of it.
He was convinced of it because he said that Senator Domenici had tried to lean on him about a public corruption case being brought before the election against Democrats. And it was a time when Congresswoman Wilson was in a very tight race for the seat, and she was actually pitted against the state attorney general, who was being criticized for not indicting these Democrats. And Iglesias felt he was being leaned on about that, being leaned on to bring voter fraud cases. And
so it was a flashy story, basically.
It was
the kind of story that can blow up.
It was, well, you had an accuser. You know, it helps when you have an accuser. That's for starters. And then there's the fact that his name was added so late. And today, in fact, Mr. Gonzalez conceded that he'd been talked to by Mr. Rove and by the president.
Karl Rove, the president's special assistant.
And by the president himself about this case.
Another high-profile case is that of Carol Lam of California. Her performance review stated that she was an effective leader and manager. She also oversaw the prosecution of former Republican Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham of California on bribery charges. Cunningham was convicted, and he's now in prison. Gonzalez said Lam's performance regarding prosecutions of gun crimes and illegal immigration was inadequate. Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein of California confronted him on that.
Let me be clear. Carol Lam was ranked as one of the top 10 prosecutors in the country for her prosecutions and her conviction rates. San Diego reached its lowest crime rate in 25 years during her tenure. She brought down the Hells Angels gang in San Diego. She was told by Deputy Attorney General James Comey that he was satisfied with her prosecution strategy for gun crimes. She brought indictments against the Arellano Felix cartel, a significant success in the fight against drugs. She gained a national reputation for her work on public corruption cases, which was the FBI's second highest priority, just after terrorism. She was praised by the Border Patrol, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, local leaders of the FBI, the San Diego City Attorney, judges in her districts, and many others. The letters have said immigration is not one of the department's top priorities. However, immigration prosecutions accounted for the largest single crime category prosecuted during Lamb's tenure.
That was Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, and here's how Gonzalez responded.
Ms. Lamb served with distinction in a lot of other areas, and of course she's going to have a lot of fans, and as do these other United States attorneys that were asked to resign, because there are good things that they did. But this was a very important border district, and it was appropriate for the President of the United States and the Attorney General to expect that we would make improvements with respect to both gun prosecutions and immigration prosecutions. That is the reason why I asked for Ms. Lamb's resignation. She had served for 4 years, and we felt it was the appropriate time to make a decision to try to improve performance with respect to immigration prosecutions.
Nina Totenberg, that's the Attorney General's version, but it seems that neither he nor others in his department had warned Ms. Lamb her prosecution record was unsatisfactory. It seems that on the one hand, he's saying she had her fans, she did a good job in some areas, and yet she didn't do a good job. So
he said she was acutely aware of concerns about her immigration record. But when pressed, it turned out that she knew she was acutely aware because some members of Congress had complained about it. She'd met with him. She thought, from the memoranda it indicates, it went well. And then Senator said, Do you usually send a message to a U.S. attorney by sending congressmen to talk to them? Did anybody ever call her and say, we are concerned about this? And the Attorney General finally conceded not to his knowledge.
We have to take a brief break, but we'll be back. This is a special report from NPR News. We've been listening to excerpts from Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez's testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee regarding the firings of 8 U.S. attorneys. I'm Paul Brown. This is a special report from NPR News. We're listening to selections from today's appearance by Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Gonzalez has been under fire over the dismissals of 8 federal prosecutors. Democrats and most Republicans on the committee pounded Gonzalez with questions about what he knew, what meetings he attended, what he told the public about the U.S. attorneys, and why his story was changing. I'm Paul Brown. I'm joined here by NPR's legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg and NPR's Washington editor Ron Elving. And Nina, could you give us a sense of the atmosphere in the hearing room today, and what was the Attorney General's demeanor throughout what seemed like a real ordeal?
Well, he started out, his usual sort of bulldog self. I mean, I've watched him sit through a number of hearings, including his confirmation hearing, where they laid a lot of gloves on him, and he just sat there and took it. And the Republicans had the votes. He was confirmed. That was that. He sat through some oversight hearings like that where he just basically bulls through the answers or non-answers. But that wasn't Washington today. And by the afternoon, he was absolutely ashen. And I don't think he had a single exchange that he won. And I want to say one other thing here. And that is, you have to remember, Alberto Gonzalez has no constituency on Capitol Hill. He has only one constituent. That's George Bush. The conservative Republicans have always mistrusted him.
Why is that?
They don't like some of the things he's done on affirmative action, one decision he did on abortion when he was on the state Supreme Court. So the conservatives have never trusted him. The Democrats have reviled him for a lot of his legal decisions when he was counsel to the president and involving the war and prisoners of war and things like that. So he doesn't have anybody on Capitol Hill who is his real friend, and he hasn't cultivated them either. And that was painfully apparent today.
Well, let's return to the testimony for a little bit here. By the afternoon, the Democratic Committee Chairman, Patrick Leahy of Vermont, expressed his continuing frustration. Let's listen to that.
See, part of my problem is we've had a number of statements about the dismissal of these eight U.S. attorneys. I just want to know which one is the accurate one. Your January 18 testimony, your March 7 op-ed in USA Today, or your March 13 press conference, or your March 26 interview with Pete Williams on MSNBC, or your written testimony that is submitted in advance today, or your live testimony here today. Which one is the one we should grab hold of and say, this is the accurate statement, this is the one we can go to the bank with?
Senator, again, I've not done anything intentional, and I have made misstatements, and those misstatements are my mistakes, and I accept responsibility for it. If there are specific issues that you have questions about, I'm happy to try to answer your question.
Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez with Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont, and if you were listening carefully, you could also hear someone in the occasionally rowdy audience shouting liar at the end of Gonzalez's statement. Ron Elving, I really have to say here, it seemed as though senators were genuinely weary and somewhat sad by late in the day.
Well, some of the senators, I think, throughout the day had the demeanor of eager pursuers. I think of Chuck Schumer, Russ Feingold, Dick Durbin, some of the Democrats. But by and large, most of the rest of the senators, by the end of the day, certainly had the demeanor of what I would call rueful executioners. They felt that the Attorney General was not answering their questions. As several of them observed over the course of the day, he used the I don't know or I don't recall dodge more than 100 times. And when they say things like that out loud, and when, for example, Senator Specter at the end of the day essentially says, well, I'm going to leave it up to you and up to the president, they are leaving open these huge spaces for him practically to resign on the spot. That's what they seem to expect him to have to do.
Nina Totenberg, were there a lot of demonstrators or protesters in the room? What was the scene?
There were, but I don't want to be disrespectful, but they really did sort of act like fruitcakes. They were dressed in peculiar costumes and misbehaving. And Senator Leahy sort of treated them that way, not very heavy-handed, but repeatedly telling them that if they were going to act like that, they were going to be taken out of the room. And if they yelled in the course of the hearing, they were taken out of the room.
So they were nearly caricatures of protesters.
They were caricatures of protesters.
Democrat Dianne Feinstein of California returned to the question of how the decisions were made to fire the eight prosecutors. Let's listen to her for a moment.
I want to take you back once again, Mr. Attorney General. I may be very slow, but
no,
I don't understand how this list was compiled. The list was essentially 10% of the entire Attorney General staff. Kyle Sampson, your former chief of staff, I'm going to talk about the senior so-called leadership of the department, and the person you said you delegated this task to testified that he didn't put people on the list. He said, quote, it wasn't like that. It wasn't that I wanted names on the list. I was the aggregator. That's page 184 of his transcript. Mike Battle, director of the Executive Office of the United States Attorney, said, I had no input. Nobody asked me for my input. That's the interview, page 82. Bill Mercer, acting Associate Attorney General and number three at DOJ, said, I didn't understand there was a list. I didn't keep a list. It was just that any time I had a particular concern, I made that known to different people. And you testified this morning that you didn't know the reasons U.S. attorneys were put on the list until after you decided to fire them.
Nina, that was Senator Dianne Feinstein of California asking the Attorney General how the list of prosecutors to be fired was drawn up. I heard other senators over the course of the day try to get to that issue at different times as well. Did Gonzalez ever provide an answer that satisfied the committee?
No. I mean, the question she asked was, who was the decider? And he said he was the decider, but he didn't make up the list, and he didn't know the bases for the firings in each and every case until after they were executed. That's a real, you know, that's that. It doesn't make a lot of sense as an answer, but that was his answer.
Republican Lindsey Graham of South Carolina talked with Gonzalez about what he thinks the Attorney General needs to do. And Graham, like some of the other Republicans, was trying to give Gonzalez a little wiggle room to make changes, although he was pretty tough as well.
Senator, I think I need to continue to have dialogue with the Congress to try to be as forthcoming as I can be to reassure the Congress. I've tried to inform the Congress that I don't have anything to hide.
Right.
I didn't say no to the document request. I didn't say no. You can't interview internal staff. I didn't. You know, I asked OPR to get involved. Everything I've done has been consistent with the principle of pursuing truth and accountability.
Finally, you are situationally aware that you have a tremendous credibility problem with many members of the Congress, and you're intent on trying to fix that. Today is a start, right?
Absolutely, Senator.
Thank you.
An exchange there between Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina and Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez at today's Senate Judiciary Committee hearing. Earlier in the hearing, another Republican, Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, called on Gonzalez to step down. Later, he confronted Gonzalez with the questions of credibility and also what to do next.
The damage to the Justice Department, the Attorney General, and you personally has been significant. Several people's reputations have been harmed. Communication has been terrible. Management has been terrible. You were asked by Senator Cardin if you would make this decision again, and you said yes because you thought it was the right decision. The question I have for you is, how would you have handled it differently in terms of implementing the decision?
Well, sir, when you say implementing, after the decision is made, how to implement it going after
yes.
The decision is made? Well, one of the things I would have done, of course, is been more respectful in communicating the decision. I think that a face-to-face meeting, if at all possible, involving the Deputy Attorney General or myself, or certainly a phone call involving the Deputy Attorney General or myself instead of the Director of the Executive Office. I think also, if in fact the department was going to say something publicly about performance related, I think we should have told these individuals the specific reasons. As a legal matter, they're not entitled to those reasons, but as a matter of fairness, as a matter of good management, I think it would have been appropriate to apprise them of the concerns that we had. I think it would have been better, of course, to make them aware of those concerns before the actual decision. It's one of the things that I identified as a problem in the department, and certainly one of the things that I regret. And what we're going to do is institutionalize a process where we have at least an annual meeting face-to-face with every United States attorney.
That's Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez with Republican Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma. So, Nina Totenberg, there's been a lot of discussion before the nation about the performance of the 8 fired attorneys, very public. And at first, we were told the attorneys were dismissed for poor performance. Then it seemed that there were other reasons, and the administration simply wanted to have new prosecutors it felt more comfortable with. So one thing I want to ask here is, did we get a clearer idea today about why these attorneys were fired?
No, I think in some cases, perhaps, but not really. What we heard today was the Attorney General say in one breath that he was sorry he hadn't treated them more respectfully, and in the next breath he went item by item with every one of them and savaged them, savaged their performance. I'm sure that if any of them had a tender moment or a heart left towards this Attorney General when he said he was sorry for the way they were treated, it was gone after today's hearing. And my guess is that they will all rebut in their own communities. These are not insignificant people in their own communities. That's what you have to remember about U.S. attorneys. Jeff Sessions, the senator from Alabama, who was a U.S. attorney for 12 years, said that to me today. When you're a U.S. attorney, you're a big person in your own community. And if you're going to fire one of those people, you better have a really good reason.
And, of course, today they are bigger than they have ever been before,
right.
And they can command far more media attention and credibility than ever before. So if anything, what we got from the hearing today was a clearer sense that there must have been other reasons other than the ones that have been stated up to now, other than the ones that the U.S. Attorney General was saying were the reasons.
As the hearing drew to a close, Senator Charles Schumer, the New York Democrat, said flatly that he was not satisfied with Gonzalez's testimony, and for him there was only one responsible course of action. So let's listen to Senator Schumer.
At the beginning of the hearing, we laid out the burden of proof for you to meet, to answer questions directly and fully, to show that you were truly in charge of the Justice Department, and most of all, to convincingly explain who, when, and why the eight U.S. attorneys were fired. You've answered, I don't know or I can't recall, to close to 100 questions. You're not familiar with much of the workings of your own department, and we still don't have convincing explanations of the who, when, and why in regard to the firing of the majority of the eight U.S. attorneys. Thus, you haven't met any of these three tests. I don't see any point in another round of questions, and I urge you to re-examine your performance and, for the good of the department and the good of the country, step down.
That was Senator Charles Schumer, a Democrat of New York, speaking to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. The ranking Republican on the Judiciary Committee, Senator Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, grilled Gonzalez as hard as anyone, but at the end of the day, he wasn't ready to call for his resignation.
Now, I'm not going to call for your resignation. I'm not going to make a recommendation on that. I think there are two people who have to decide that question. You have to decide it in the first instance. And if you decide to stay on, then it's up to the president to decide. He is the appointing power. And I've signified the concerns that I have and the impact that I think it has on the department. But I think it's beyond the purview of senators can do whatever they like, and I'm not questioning anybody who wants to do it differently. But for myself, I want to leave it to you and the president.
That is Senator Arlen Specter, Republican of Pennsylvania, and talking to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. Ron Elving is with us, NPR's Washington editor. And, Ron, could you briefly review again what the White House said, that it was satisfied with Gonzalez's testimony, but where does this leave President Bush and his administration?
Yes, the president's
spokesman. Because those are two different things, really.
Yes, they are. The president's spokesman said tonight that the president was pleased with the performance and the testimony of his attorney general, and that the attorney general still enjoyed his full confidence. Now, of course, that is a public statement, and it does not necessarily reflect all of the reactions or the fullness of the response within the White House to what they witnessed today. And I think as they review it and as they take in all of the observations that are going to be made by other people and some telephone calls from some senators and other people around the country, they're going to point out, and I'm sure the White House is aware, that at the current moment they have an eviscerated leadership at the Department of Justice between resignations and people who are totally distracted by this investigation, and certainly the Attorney General himself. And they have a huge credibility problem because many people in the White House, Karl Rove, the president's special advisor, and Harriet Myers, who have previously was his counsel in the White House, are still caught up in this, are still being pulled into the investigation, and this same committee wants to bring them up there for a session like Alberto Gonzalez had today. That's not something the White House wants or would accept.
Very different times from the previous Congress.
Indeed, for 6 years, they did not have this kind of investigation.
Now, this administration has been very, very good about standing behind people who are loyal to it. And it must be said that Gonzalez has been consistently loyal to President Bush. Do you think there's a chance that the president would just tough this out for the less than 2 years remaining in his administration and try to keep Gonzalez on?
I think up until today that was the plan. The president very much wants to do that. The attorney general wants to stay on. The people around the president support that kind of loyalty, uber allis kind of approach. But after today's performance and the kind of reaction it's going to get within the Republican Party from senators and from other opinion makers in the party, I think that's going to be much more difficult.
Nina Totenberg?
I'm not sure that was the plan. I think there were a lot of people likely in the White House, perhaps not the old Texas hands, the close personal friends, but others who've been brought in to take the places of those folks who were gone. And I think that they saw the handwriting on the wall, but they didn't have a person to replace him with. And don't forget that probably when Gonzalez goes, his number two is going to go, and maybe some other people.
Well, you know, that was my next question. I was wondering if are you hearing any murmurings about who might be a successor attorney general if Gonzalez were to go?
Well, Orrin Hatch is, I'm told, running for it, but that's jumping the gun. The question here is really, I think everybody wanted to give him what they called his day in court, and there may have been some fantasy on the president's part that he could recoup this, and it may have been a fantasy by Gonzalez as well. I think the realists knew that wasn't going to happen, and they needed to let this play out, and now we'll see them come to grips with the reality.
Yes, whether it was truly a plan or truly a fantasy, it was surely their hope.
Nina, just a brief word. What have you heard about morale inside the Justice Department?
Oh, God, it's awful. It is simply dreadful. And people, conservatives and liberals, Democrats and Republicans who've served in the Department of Justice in high and middling ranks are heartbroken over this whole episode.
And most of these people are career Justice Department employees.
But the people I'm talking about being heartbroken are not just career people. They're even political appointees who've served there in previous administrations and took great pride in the kind of place it was.
So this is a very difficult time for lots of people over there right now.
Well, they're losing. A lot of people are leaving. A lot of career people are just leaving. Mm-hmm. They're taking early retirement and going out the door.
What do you think, Nina, about the Attorney General's prospects as we close out? Just a few seconds here.
Well, nothing is certain in life except death and taxes. So, and this president is very loyal, as we've said. But I just didn't see today how he could survive after this performance.
Thanks very much. This has been a special report from NPR News on today's testimony by Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Our program was edited by Martha Wexler. Tina Tennyson is our producer. Gwen Uten is our director. Thanks also to NPR's Washington editor Ron Elving and NPR's legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg. I'm Paul Brown, and this is NPR News.